Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? It's 12 o'clock. It's getting about that lunchtime and that nap time, but let me just say, I know how you're feeling, because guess what? We've been having kids camp here all week long. So I have just felt it, let me just say, as far as my sleep goes, but it's been super exciting. And for those of you that this is your first time here, my name is Cherie. I'm the lead pastor along with my awesome husband who was just up here. And we love you, church. We have an amazing, awesome church. And all of you that were a part of our kids camp that brought kids or helped put it together, we want to thank you. We had 30 kids give their lives to Jesus this week. And that's what it's all about. But we have a little recap video. Y'all want to see a little bit of what happened? Here, put your attention to the screens and let's have some fun. Yeah! Woo-hoo! It was an amazing week, and I'm telling you, your kids are pumped up. And you know what? Parents, we're going to be praying for your kids. We know that school starts this week. So from teenagers to our elementary, just know that our church is praying for you. We love kids around here. Amen? But how about us big kids? Are we ready for the word this morning? Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you that you are with us today. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you be in the middle of what we are doing. Take the words that we say this morning, Lord, and divide them into hundreds of ways. Touch every heart, touch every life, Lord God, and we submit our hearts to you for you to do what you want. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. So we've been in a series called The Beatitudes, Happy Are Those Blank, and we've been walking through them, and this is the next to the last. There's one more beatitude next week, and you don't want to miss that. Last week, if you happen to not be here, I want to encourage you to get online and listen. Pastor Dave and Pastor James did an amazing job speaking on happy are those that have a pure heart, that are pure because they shall see God. And it was amazing. And really, that message kind of leads up to this one, because this one that we're going to talk about today is about blessed. I want to say blessed or blessed, however many of you say that. Oh, let's just say happy. Happy are the peacemakers. Everybody say peacemakers. For they will be called sons of God. So how many of you got your notes? You got your notes when you came in? If you need some, raise your hand. Our ushers are going to make their way to give you something. You want to capture what God is saying to you today. We've got some fill-ins, and it really is helpful, because sometimes when we walk out these doors, we forget things, you know? And I believe that the Holy Spirit has this word for all of us. Whatever age you are, we're going to talk about being peacemakers, because the peacemakers are happy. Now, you may have seen that I've got two buckets right up here with me. These two buckets have two signs on the back of them, and I want to show you what they are. And when you see the word, would you just, if you can see it, I hope you can see it, let me know what it says. There you go. I have to get it all the way over. So this one is gas. The other one is water, 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 water. Gas and water. So here at LifeLink, we teach our school of ministry, our staff, anybody that's a part of our team, we say each one of us carries two buckets in life. So I want to just share what that means, because I think each one of you carry two buckets in life. One is gas, one is water. And if you were approaching a burning building, a fire, and it was burning down, which of these two buckets would you throw on that fire? Very good, students. Yes, water. That's what we are going to be talking about today. You see, when we come to a building that's on fire, it would not be the best thing to throw more gas on it. It would be the best thing to throw water. And so today, in our lives, we're going to be talking about how we can bring the bucket of peace with us in every situation. Turn to somebody and say, I'm already excited. Awesome. You see, anything that our Christian life brings, when you make Jesus a part of your life, he brings joy and happiness and peace because he came to bring that. That's why he came. So if there's an area in your life that you're not experiencing joy, happiness, peace, it could be that that area hasn't been given full control to Jesus because Jesus came to bring us that, and it's not determined by the outer circumstances. I have joy and happiness in life and peace when my bills are paid and I've got a full fridge of food and everything's done. Of course, that would bring you some peace and joy, you know. But you can have an empty fridge, an empty bank account, and crazy life and still be filled with life, joy, and peace when Jesus is brought into the situation. Amen? So what area in your life, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to ask you the question, and everyone say, she's talking to me. Not to my neighbor, not to my wife, not to my kids. God is talking to me today. So I want to just spark some thinking in your mind. What area in your life does not have peace right now? Think. The Holy Spirit will show you what that is. So we're going to be talking about peace. And in order to talk about peace, we got to define it. But before we define it, I want to give some context. Because if I was on a cooking show today, which I wouldn't if you know me well enough, and we were talking about, you know, making cakes, which I know only the box version, but we would be talking about a cake. What is a cake? How good does it taste? Oh, all the fun stuff before we got to the how-to. So I want to kind of give you in the same way for us to know about peace, and before we define it, let's just kind of talk about it. If we want to have peace in our life, we need to find a little more things about it and talk about it. The foundation. Everybody say foundation. Foundation. So the Bible, have you ever seen a Bible? Some of us still carry them around. We have the scriptures on the screen, but I encourage you to take your Bible and read the scriptures as well. In the Bible, in the beginning, in Genesis 1, the Bible begins with peace. Adam and Eve were in the garden. God created a perfect place for them. They had tranquility. It was a spa every day. They had the birds singing, the aroma of the flowers. They walked through the garden, and they had peace, husband and wife. They were connected. They talked with God. God was there. God was there giving them all that they need. There was peace. At the end of the Bible, there is peace as well. The beginning of the Bible began with peace, and guess what? There is peace. There's a new heaven, a new earth, and God says in his word that there, the kingdom of heaven will have peace. No conflict, no roar. Not roar. I've been saying roar because that's our kids' camp. No roar or war, but peace. Everybody say peace. You see, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, everything was great. Until sin entered and kind of messed things up. It kind of altered things. Conflict happened. Conflict disrupted the peace. conflict is a result of sin, of disobedience. Before sin entered the world was at peace. So the end of the book as well, God says that there is a kingdom that will be ruled by peace. Now, how many of you would want to live in a place where there is no violence, crime, sickness, disease, crazy, insanity? You know what I'm saying. Just fill in the blank. Well, this is what's going to happen. If you read the end of the book, the Bible talks about it. There's a kingdom that's ruled by peace, and it describes it in the way that maybe you may understand. It kind of is a churched term that we've talked about. The lion and the lamb will lie down together. Well, what does that mean? That means there is going to be peace among enemies. There is peace. You see, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. All right, y'all get involved with me. God is not the author of confusion, but of there we go. Peace is a result of righteousness. Well, there's another church word we can talk about for a second. How many of you come to church and you're like, there are some words I really would like a definition of? Am I the only one raising my hand in this building? Let's break it down a little bit. What does righteousness mean? It means right standing with God. Well, what does that mean? It means I have peace with God. We're good. Have you ever seen someone, maybe it's passing away and you're coming to the bedside, or you've seen it on TV or whatever, and it's like, have you made peace with God, right? It means, are you good with him? Is there anything in between you and him? You see, peace is what we're after. Peace with God. Righteousness means free from guilt, sin, morally right, justifiable. But we're talking about peace. And if God is the God of peace, and the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, then why in the world is there so much conflict in our world? Strife and war. Have I been the only one that's ever asked that question? Okay, if you've asked that question in your head, raise your hand. Yay, we're all in this together. If there's a God of peace, then why do bad things happen? Why is there conflict? What is going on if God is so much of peace? Well, there's two main reasons why we don't have peace. This is where you want to get your pencils, your pens, and fill in these blanks. First of all, the reason we don't have peace is because we have a devil that fights it. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Okay, that's Bible language saying there's a real dark world out there, that the enemy, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, he's bad. He is always out to steal your peace. That's his main objective, is get you all shaken up, filled with anxiety, filled with depression, filled with fear, so that he can destroy you. Okay, so that's real. The spiritual world is real. So the devil is always out to steal our peace. The second thing is, why we don't have peace is we have people, you can write that down in your notes, that reject it. We have people that reject it. What? 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 That's my word of saying what? Yes. Oh, Pastor Sheree, no, everybody wants peace. Yes, everybody wants peace. But does everybody want God? You see, if you reject God, you reject peace. Because God is peace. See, before sin entered, before conflict entered the world, there was peace. God created it, right? So he's the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So you reject God, you get conflict. You get crazy. You get stuff in your life that it's like, whoa. Now, we live in a fallen world that brings it anyway, but you could be filled, your life could be in turmoil, and you could be sick in your body, hearing what doctors say, and you're filled with fear and all this kind of stuff, but yet, when your world's going upside down, you can still have peace when you bring God into the situation. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir out there because you guys know. In fact, I'm going to congratulate you. You're here today where you could be anywhere else at 12:20 today, right? You're in a place because you know there's peace in this house because of the presence of Jesus, right? Or I should say, if that's not why you're here, why are you here? Do you need more peace? A lot of people come and say, oh man, I just need to get to church because when I'm in that worship, all my problems just seem to lift, right? Or when I'm listening to the word, which is true, it's alive, it's hitting things and it's feeding you. And it's setting you free from what the enemy that tries to bring the conflict and tries to mess with your mind. How many of you have ever not had peace in your mind? Man, he will want us to try to, he will whisper things. He will cause us to feel anxiety and feel paranoid so that we go crazy. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life where I've listened to myself way too much. And Cherie gets crazy that I need peace in my life. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You see, man can't make peace. We've tried. We can't make lasting peace. You see, the United Nations was formed in 1945, and one of their stated goals was to produce peace for the coming generations. That was 1945. What is this year, 2019? Have they succeeded? Exactly. They have failed miserably because man can't produce peace. You take God out of things, conflict happens. There is no peace. Peace only comes from God. One person said it this way: peace is that glorious moment in history when everyone stops fighting to reload. Right? Thank you, honey, for that laugh. This is the second time he heard that. I love it. You see, peace only comes from God. There is no peace without God. Man can't produce it. But man's best attempts are ceasefires, truces, treaties, and roughly 3,500 years of recorded secular history, not including the Bible history, which would be 6,000 years, there have been an estimated 14,350 wars. That's four wars per year. And many of us know how many years sometimes wars are. There have been an estimated 3.6 billion people killed in war, and there have been an estimated 8,000 peace treaties made, and all of them, everyone say all, have been broken because man can't produce peace. Look at somebody and say, man can't do it. So why have all of our best efforts to produce peace failed? Because peace doesn't come from man. It can only come from God. There is no peace in without God. So that's some context about peace. Now, I want to bring out one of the most amazing people that I know. I actually gave birth to her, my daughter, who's going to come out and talk to you about what is peace. Give it up for Pastor Lacey Mercer.
Well, hey, y'all. I hope you guys had an amazing week this week. We did. We were partying here at Roar all week long. But also, another great thing that happened this week was it was Amazon Prime Day. And the church said, Yes. I don't know about you, but we got some treasures on Amazon Prime Day. My husband bought Alexa for our house. Yes, I know. So because we were here all week at Roar, we didn't get a chance to take her out and play with her until yesterday. So all afternoon, even our sweet little girl Emma was like, Alexa, play ABCs. Alexa, I was like, Alexa, may the force be with you. So all afternoon we were playing with Alexa, right? Well, last night I was studying in preparation for this, and James was like, babe, he was the sweetest. He was doing the dishes, which is my love language. And so he's doing the dishes, and he was like, babe, let me put worship music on for you on Alexa so that you can just get in the zone. And I was like, babe, that would be so great. So he's like, okay, Alexa, play Lacey's worship playlist. I'm sorry, I can't find Lacey's worship playlist on Apple Music. We're like, you know, she's still getting used to our voice recognition, you know. Alexa, play Lacey's worship playlist. And then Alexa proceeds to play awful 90s Christian music, like awful, awful 90s Christian music. And I was like, get it off. So then I feel my blood pressure just coming up a little bit. So then he's like, Alexa, play Lacey's worship playlist. I'm sorry, I cannot play with the explicit filter on. He looks at me like, what kind of worship do you have on your playlist? I was like, I have no idea. I just was like, forget it. So at that point, I'm sitting in the kitchen. He's frustrated at Alexa. I'm frustrated that he thinks I have cussing on my worship playlist. It's crazy. And I'm sitting there like, this is so perfect because I'm talking about peace and I'm in frustration at this moment. Technology sometimes, man. But you know what? Peace is not the absence of conflict. Contrary to cultural belief, peace is not the absence of conflict. Go ahead and write that down. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but peace is the presence of righteousness. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of righteousness. Another way to say that is peace is not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. Peace is not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. Like Pastor Cherie said, it is very possible for us to have peace in the midst of crazy. It is very possible for us to have peace in the midst of the storm when Jesus is in the boat with us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Peace is the presence of someone. You see, wherever we let Jesus have control in our lives, that area of our life will have peace. Another way to say it is, if you look at your life and there is an aspect of it that there is no peace, chances are Jesus does not have influence in that part of your life. Because wherever he is, there is peace. When we invite Jesus into our situation, he brings peace that the world cannot give. So, who's a peacemaker then? We talked about what is peace and where does it come from and what peace is not. So today we're talking about being a peacemaker. Happy are those who are peacemakers or who work for peace. So who is a peacemaker? Well, write this down. A peacemaker is a person who chooses righteousness. A peacemaker is a person who chooses righteousness. Righteousness. What a churchy word if I have ever heard one. Man, you've heard it said, maybe. I always heard my whole life, righteousness is right standing with God. Cool. Cool. What does that mean? What does righteousness even mean? Righteousness is the quality of being morally right or justifiable, blameless, sinless. So a peacemaker is a person who chooses righteousness, being morally justifiable, blameless, and sinless. Now, chances are when I said that, two trains of thought just went through the room. Number one, when you heard righteousness as being blameless and sinless, you went, oh no, that ain't me. I am not blameless. I am not sinless. I could never measure up to that. And you're right. We can't. All of us will fall short. All of us will fail at being righteous. We can try it for like 5 minutes. And then something will happen. But there is somebody who is righteous. And he made a way for us. And he wants a friendship and a relationship with you. But the second train of thought that might have gone through some people's heads in here is righteous. Morally justifiable. Yeah, I think I'm good. Yeah, I mean, I don't cuss. I tithe. I'm here in church. I open doors for old ladies. I recycle. Yeah, I'm good. And to that, I say, oops. Because when we say a peacemaker is somebody who chooses righteousness, that's not saying that a peacemaker is somebody who chooses self-righteousness. A self-righteous person will never be a peacemaker. A self-righteous person will never be a peacemaker. I mean, can we just stop and take a step back and look at our culture right now? Just look at the reputation that we as Christians have in our world right now. Are we making much peace? Because a self-righteous person will never be a peacemaker. What it means to choose righteousness is it means to choose Jesus. In James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Last week, we talked about how the pure of heart will see God. And we talked about how that's all about a relationship with God, that Jesus wants a relationship with you so that your heart could be pure and you can be in relationship with him. And that's what being a peacemaker builds on. We have to choose Jesus first before we can even have a hope to bring peace into any situation. We have to choose Jesus. We have to choose righteousness first, and then we can bring peace. So we talked about what is peace. We talked about who a peacemaker is, and now we're going to talk about what a peacemaker does. And to do that, please help me welcome back Pastor Cherie.
So good. So good. Wow. So now that we know a little bit about peace and what that is all about, what do we do with this? What do we do with this? We are peacemakers. As Lacey was saying, that we are the ones that God has put here on the earth to bring peace. You know, sometimes when we watch the news or we see the circumstances of our life, and we're just like, God, where are you? God, what's going on? Why aren't you doing anything? And he says, I am, but I'm waiting on you. Because see, he's put us here to be the representative of who he is. And we are too. Why don't you fill this in? We make peace by bringing righteousness. There's that word again, righteousness. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Cherie? The standard of God. Oh, as Lacey was saying, that is so not me. That is like, oh, I barely made it in the church this morning. I think I'm doing pretty good doing that. And that's what I'm saying. It's not about us being perfect, but it's about bringing Jesus with us. If you have Jesus and a relationship with him, then wherever you go, you bring him. Wherever you are, you bring him. This is the only way. James 3:18 says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, a person of peace who brings Jesus into a situation introduces his way of doing things. His way of doing things to the point that peace changes the circumstance. You see, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about we're dressed in the armor of God. If you don't know that passage of scripture, look it up. Because the last part is, you know, it says we have the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We have the belt of truth. But it talks about our feet are shod. In other words, we have shoes in the spirit of peace. And if we step into those shoes, we can walk into any circumstance and not be harmed and not be flustered and not feel crazy, because we are with Jesus and we bring his presence, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, in every situation. So write this down. The only way to get true, lasting peace in an area of your life that currently doesn't have peace is to give up control to the Lordship of Christ. The word on the screen says submit. And that's such a, we gotta submit. In other words, it's just, I take the care off me. I give it to Jesus. I'm gonna give him that area of my life. Giving him control. What does lordship mean? That means his leadership. You see, sometimes we let him do that in some areas of our life, but not all. You see, we all have a desire for peace. In fact, that's the next fill-in. We all want peace. It's a desire. But making peace is a decision. We want it, but making it, what kind of bucket are we going to do? We've got the gas and the water. Whoa. You have a decision. You're carrying two buckets everywhere you go, every single day, every moment, every situation. You have two buckets. And you choose what to throw. Is it peace or is it the gas? The gas is going to blow it up and make the fire bigger and conflict, more hurt, more stuff that burns up. But the water will bring peace. Now, some of you already know what you're thinking. Yeah. But get real, Pastor Sheree. There's stuff that has to be told. And there's stuff that has to be done. Well, let's just keep on going. Let's take another look at this beatitude. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are, or happy. How many of you are happy right now? How many of you are not happy when you think about certain areas of your life? Is that an indicator that you haven't given Jesus control? You haven't brought him in on that, and you're still handling it. Blessed or happy are peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. You see, we're different from the culture that the world is. At least we're supposed to be. They don't understand. How can you walk around and not feel frustrated when the boss just laid us all off? You're like, because I know who I am. I've given Jesus Lord. This is his job, not mine. He's my provider, not me. And I walk with the shoes of peace. That means he's got me covered. I know he's going to do something better. You're crazy. No, I live in another world, which is really the real world. Notice it doesn't say this scripture, blessed are the peacemakers. Notice that it doesn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. For they'll be happy and they'll be sons of God. A peacemaker is not the same as a peacekeeper. What's the difference? Write this down in your notes. A peacekeeper avoids conflict, but a peacemaker resolves conflict. And how we resolve it is the difference that the world needs to see. We respond, we don't react. The boss laid us off. Everybody's mad. Blankety blank 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 boom. But yet you're okay. You're walking, not arrogantly, but God's got it. Yeah, I feel a little shaky, but I know all I have to do is go into the presence of God, and he's gonna bring me peace. He's gonna remind me, I've provided for you. I didn't create you to just hang out there and do nothing. But that's if you have Jesus as Lord in that area. When you haven't put Jesus Lord of that area, get to shaking, baby. You know what I'm saying? Because if he's not Lord of that area, then it's just you hanging out there. And the enemy's like, ah, there we go. All alone, shaken, way to go. I've got him. I'm going to make him miserable. I'm going to make him afraid. You know what I'm saying? But when you bring Jesus in to the situation, and some of you are like, well, how do you do that? I'm going to give you some examples. If you don't have peace in your marriage, the way to get it is not by avoiding things, but you bring peace into your marriage by bringing your marriage into relationship with Jesus. You see, in Pastor David and I, our marriage, not just because we're pastors of a church, but because we're Christians, is we love each other, and there's two of us, but really there's three of us. It's Jesus. So guess what? Pastor Dave and I sometimes have things we have to work out. And it was the other night we were here, or I was here at kids camp, and I was getting out late, and I was tired. I mean, you know, we were here till like 10:30, and I get home around 11. So I call Pastor Dave out of the parking lot, and I'm just telling him everything that's going on, not realizing that he's had things in his day and he's winding down. I'm still chatty Kathy, chatty Cherie. And so I'm just go. And here it comes 11 o'clock at night. How many of you know nothing good happens at 11 o'clock at night? And so I just keep talk, and I wanted to start discussing big things. You know, we have a big week coming up. I want to start discussing big things. Pastor Dave is like, whew. And I'm on the phone. Now, women, y'all know. Are you still there? Are you still there? Yes, I'm still here. Did you hear everything I said? Am I the only one that does that to our husbands? Yes, I heard what you say. What was the last thing I said? And he does very well. He can multitask, let me say. But I could tell that he was tired, and he was doing stuff in the kitchen. And so then I just keep talking more, because I want to talk about, you know, what we're doing. And so he's like, okay, right? Well, then Cherie gets frustrated. I had no peace. And I got a little bit upset. Your pastor? And do you, your pastors get upset? I thought y'all prayed all day. Literally, our neighbors think all we do is pray all day for work. It's funny. And so anyway, I got a little bit upset, and then so I decided I'm gonna drive around for 20 more minutes. Because I knew if I walked in the way I was a little frustrated, I would not be very nice. The reality is Pastor David and I are fine. But you know what we have is Jesus within the middle of our relationship. So Cherie sits in the driveway for a while after I have ministered to all of your children that God is good. That I had to go, Jesus, forgive me for getting upset. You know what I'm saying? We all have to do that. I brought Jesus in peace so that when I came in that I wouldn't be hand on hip. Y'all don't look at me so innocently. Y'all know y'all do that. But we have God in our relationship, so we know what to do when things get uncomfortable or awkward. Do you know what I'm saying? What area of your life do you not feel peace in? Is it your finances? You know, when you do things God's way, you have peace and plenty. He says in his word what to do with finances, but sometimes we're like, I don't know. Am I right or am I wrong, right? But God is either God or he's not. We either believe or we don't. And I'm challenging us today, bring Jesus in and trust. Trust his word that he will supply every need you have. Put him first with the first fruits that Bible says. In other words, we just took offering a while ago, and this is not a plug for offering at all. It's already been taken. So I'm just saying that he is the peace. And when you give him that 10% of what you've earned, boom, he says, I'll take that and I'm going to multiply. I'm going to bring so much favor and peace. I'm going to bring you blessing over your job. I'm going to bring heaven into your world because you put me first in your life. Those are the examples. If you have conflict at your work or your school or relationships or whatever it may be, bring Jesus into that world. One of the things that we see in our culture right now, politically all over the world, there's conflict. There's wars. There are things that we don't agree with when things are laws are made or government or our president says things and we're like, ah. But Jesus is like, we need to bring peace into that situation. We don't need to react. We need to bring peace. It doesn't matter who you voted for. God is the God of America. God is still in charge. But sometimes we feel like we have to be the ones that fix everything. And like Lacey was saying, we get righteous, but we get a little self-righteous. And we get on our social media microphones and we begin to tell everybody, is that bringing Jesus and peace? Well, yeah, it is. Really? What tones? What words? Do you know what I'm saying? Parents, those things leak out. Are you bringing peace into your home? Or are you bashing the leaders of our land? Are you bashing the teachers at the school your children go to? Are you bashing their dad that you're not married to anymore? Are we peacemakers? See, you have the bucket. That you could say, psh, 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 and your children are going, okay, this must be the way things are. Or you can throw the water and bring peace, which doesn't mean you don't see or you don't hear the reality of what's going on, but you have the peace of God in your heart that causes you to respond differently. You see, the Bible talks about us being like, let me read my scripture here. We're wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We have the wisdom of God. And when we walk in his peace and in his favor, we don't have to push our way in anywhere and prove that we're Christians. With the whole sexuality thing that's happening now and the laws and all of that, we do need to stand for righteousness. But there's a way that the church needs to do that. And only the wisdom of God can come, because the peace of God that we stay in will show us wisdom and give us peace and favor from heaven before we even enter in. We need to pray first. We need to vote on things. If you don't vote, stop complaining. Yeah, but you need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, because he wants the church to be strong. He doesn't want the church to be weak and in its own world over here where we don't know anything what's going on. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We are not of this world. We're peculiar people, a holy nation called for the purposes of God. We are kingdom people, and we walk with wisdom. We walk with peace. And so we bring our bucket of peace. And when there's crazy, and there's crazy all the time, how are you responding? Where is the peace in your own life? That is an indicator if you've given Jesus lordship in that. Control, leadership. Well, I come to church, that's cool, and that's great, and you're here, woo! But how are you living in front of your kids? How are you living at your job? We need to bring peace wherever we go. And that will change culture. That will change things in our world. I promise you, because you know what? Jesus, the Prince of Peace, walks with us. and talks with us, and he will, whoosh, 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 he'll whisper, here's how you touch that person. You see, the church doesn't need to be haters. The church needs to show God's love to every race, to every culture, to every gender. And then we bring his word, this righteousness. We stand for righteousness, but that doesn't mean, bam, bam, here's a sign that says you're going to hell. No, we bring peace, but we don't avoid. Do you see what I'm saying, church? This is what the church is supposed to be. So where are you? Where are you in your life? Do you have his way in every area of your life? Do you have peace in your marriage? Do you have peace in your finances? Do you have peace when you watch the news, or does it affect you way too much? You see, some people can't watch the news because it's like, oh, but I can because I know who my God is. It doesn't matter what I see, and I like to actually see, is the crime rate up in Phoenix right now? If it's high, then that means I need to go back to my war room and begin to pray and call out peace in the name of Jesus. In fact, some of you may be here and go, you know, I would love to know how to grow in some of these areas with prayer. You know, Pastor Dave talks about we need to get into the scriptures. It's so overwhelming, I don't know where to go. And then I love the music, but what's that all about? Well, I'm glad you're asking these questions, because we are here starting in August a new series, and it's called The Basics. And what we're going to do is break down these tools so that you can have your tool belt filled, so that you can be in the world and you won't be slammed. You won't be rocking off your feet and it takes you forever to get back up. You'll know how to live with peace. You'll know how to get into scripture and understand. You'll know how to see what worship is about and how to pray. Prayer is your best thing that you can do. It's the best thing. It's relationship with Jesus, but it also does the fighting for you, so that all you have to do is go. You walk in, favor, blessing. Oh, things changed in the court system. Hey. Things changed in my marriage? Yeah. Because when you want peace, all you have to do is bring Jesus. I'm talking to teenagers here too today. When you walk in your schools, because many of you are starting school this week, you know? It can be crazy. It can be, you know, you're getting a new grade. Y'all are all acting cool, but I know you're nervous. At least I was when I started. You can bring peace into your school, and it can change how your year will turn out. Yeah, it can. Parents, you need to pray and grow in your prayer life like never before, so that your kids do not see you react to things and get all mad and upset or whatever, but you respond. It changes the climate of where you are in your home. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed upon you. We are the peacemakers. Let's bring the bucket wherever we go. Amen. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for every heart that is here this morning. I pray, God, that you bring peace into the lives of those who are in turmoil, even as they're sitting in these seats today. Lord, you know where they've come from. You know what's happening in their own lives. And I pray that the Prince of Peace, Jesus, begin to move right here. Or we open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, Lord, to be moved by you. We allow you to come in, oh Father, and begin to heal and set free and deliver. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you begin to stir in our hearts. Where are we not having peace? What area have we not given you lordship in our life? In the name of Jesus, Lord, show us. On your own way, just say, God, show me. I want to give an opportunity for those of you that say, you know what? I really don't have Jesus as Lord of everything. I want to just tell you, this is the right place. You're really in the right place right now, because we're going to give an opportunity for you to just recommit that to Jesus. You see, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So where have you not made him Lord? Where have you not given him control and done things his way, not yours? If this is you, we're going to pray a prayer together. Maybe some of you are saying, you know what? It's what Pastor Lacey was saying. How can I bring peace when I don't know the peacemaker? I want to know more about him. I want to make him Lord of my life. Would you just raise your hands if that any of those prayers are for you today? Awesome. Thank you. Would y'all repeat this prayer after me, the whole church together? Jesus, I come to you today with my whole heart, my whole life. I give everything to you. Forgive me for trying to do things my own way. I need you. I ask forgiveness for any sin, any conflict that's between you and me. Forgive me, Lord. I make you the ruler of my heart, the one who makes the decisions in my life. I will follow you. I receive your peace right now. I receive your peace right now. In Jesus' name. Now, those of you that need peace in your life, would you just lift your hands right now to the Lord? If you need peace in your heart, if you need peace, if you've been in a struggle, there's things in your life, come on, just raise your hands to the Lord right now and just say, Jesus, I need your peace. I give up control of doing things my way. Peacemaker, come into my life. Holy Spirit, breathe over my soul. Restore my heart. I give it to you. Be Lord of my life in these areas. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you that in this place, Lord, there is already transformation happening in the spirit. I thank you that marriages are already being restored under the sound of my voice, which, God, you're using right now. I thank you, God, that you are moving, Lord, in the finances of people today. You're bringing peace into their hearts, reminding them that you are God and you are all they need. I thank you that there is peace to the hurting heart today. That there's peace in the mind that has been under the oppression of bondage and depression. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, freedom is here. And in Jesus' name, that is broken off of their minds in Jesus' name. I come against every dark spirit, every strategy. In the name of Jesus, we call those things out. Strategies are null and void in Jesus' name that has tried to destroy God's people and bring torment to their lives. We come against that in Jesus' name. The peace of God, Jesus, is in this place. Jesus is in this place. And Father, we thank you that the name of Jesus changes atmospheres. Father, I thank you that everyone in this place that is open to the move of your spirit, Lord, will find freedom throughout this week in their families, their lives. They will see change because you are their peace. You are their joy. You are their life. Father, we receive everything that you have. Will you lift your hands to the Lord right now and just receive that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, that you are our peace. We praise you, Lord. There is a spirit of joy that is coming into this house right now. There's a spirit of, I come against the spirit of offense right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, that spirit has to leave. Anger, jealousy. The presence of the Lord brings peace that passes our understanding. How do I forgive? Some of you are saying, bring Jesus into the situation. He'll show you what to say. He'll give you what you need. Father, we receive your wisdom. We receive your joy. We receive your presence now and your peace. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Did you get something out of that today? Let's give God praise.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.